Well, welcome to the Steam Room, everybody. I'm Tim Kiley, executive producer at Turner Sports. That's Charles Barkley. You know him. The reason I'm sitting in this chair is I'm subbing for Ernie this week because his mother, Lois, passed away Tuesday. She died at the age of 94 and had 7 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. So she lived a wonderful life, and we're all thinking of Ernie and his family.
Yeah, it was a tough one. You know, I've been blessed to be at Turner. I think I'm year 23, and two of the people I really love being around is Ernie Johnson and Kenny Smith. And people ask me why. I says, man, they're parents. You know, I think both parents were married for 50 years or more. And I said, I've always wanted that. I mean, Shaq has an amazing mom, Miss Lucille. And I had a great mom and grandmother. But I've always been envious of people who had a mom and dad who were together like the entire life. And, you know, we buried Kenny's mom a few years ago. We buried Ernie's dad. But I've always told people, man, to have a great mom and dad who were together their entire life, I really think it puts you on a great road to being successful. And I know Ernie's in pain right now, but man, he was so blessed to have a great mom and dad all those years. I hope he can find some peace in that aspect. And, you know, Kenny's dad is still alive, but I know that, man, his mom and dad were just tremendous also. And I've always just been envious of that situation. So I know it's a tough time for the Godfather, but rest in peace, Miss Johnson.
We'll be back. Oh boy, here it is, the bass.
Yes.
Ace of Base. Chuck, where can I get a Redmont shirt?
I'll talk to some people. I know some people.
Because Cap was looking for some vodka, too.
He was looking for some gin.
Oh, is he looking for gin?
He's looking for gin. I had one of my worst nights drinking gin.
Yeah, no, you ain't kidding.
Thanks to Governor Ventura. Thanks, Jess Ventura. That worst night of my life. The worst day when I played football that one day. I think the second night was that night I tried to drink with the Green Navy SEALs at Jess's retirement party. Woo. That was bad. They yelled at me, too. They yelled at me, too, because they were passing the gin around, and I said, okay. I said, where's the mixer? The guy looks at me, son, we're in Vietnam. What do you think? We had time to get mixers? I'm like, yo, man, you don't have to yell at me. I was laughing. Like, he says,
how'd you get into that pickle?
No, so Jesse was a great friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I've known him forever. And he was not going to run for re-election of being governor. So he had this big party, and he invited me. So we had a great time. It was like 300 or 400 people had a great time. And at the end of the night, he went back. You know, he was a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went back to his suite with these Navy SEALs. They're just passing around gin. For some reason, I guess that's what they had in Vietnam. And they're passing around. I'm like, I don't drink gin. They're like, son, you can't just sit here. And I'm like, okay, where are the mixers? They're like, son, we're in Vietnam. Well, you think they let us go get club soda?
Diet Pepsi ain't around.
Yeah, like, come on, man, we're a bit. And so I started drinking. And TK, I got like a 5 o'clock pickup, get a flight back home. I leave those guys about four. I say to myself, let me rest my eyes for about 15, 20 minutes. I woke up at 3 o'clock the next day. I was like, let me rest my eyes for about 15, 20 minutes. I said, because my car is coming at 5. I slept through them calling me and everything. And I was like, when I woke up, I said, 3 o'clock. Like, oh, man.
You sure they didn't slip you a Mickey? Or
No. Just straight. I forget what gin we were drinking, but it was, I was like, yeah, no gin for Chuck anymore.
Hey, first of all.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got to start with a couple of somber notes before I get to the good stuff. I want to give my condolences. You know, we had Kirby Smart on last week, and he was awesome. But I just want to give my condolences to the Georgia football program. I saw the young lady and the young man get killed in the car accident, man. And
terrible.
Man, I just, you know, you just never know. Brutal. Young, never got a chance to live their lives. Coming off a celebrating a back-to-back national championship, and that's how quickly life can change.
Yep.
And just want to give my condolences to Kirby and the family of the young man and the young lady and the Bulldog Nation, man. It's just a tough one. Secondly, the Alabama basketball program. Man, you young kids, man, when y'all make some of these decisions, you kill this young lady, you admitted that you gave the gun to this other fool who killed this young lady. Man, you guys got to sit back and think about some of the decisions. Like, that's life-altering on so many levels. This young lady is gone. Thoughts and prayers to her family. These two guys probably going to go to jail for life. And you young kids, man, y'all got to really, especially when it comes to violence. When it comes to violence, man, you can't unpull that trigger. And y'all got to, like, use better judgment. Like, hey, I've done stupid things. I've been blessed that I haven't done stupid enough to, in that situation. But, man, just think about the consequences when you're gun violent, especially in the Black community. We need to take a step back and say, yo, man, why are you we pulling guns and killing people? And just think about it. So I had to acknowledge those two situations. They've been on my heart. You know, obviously, working in Atlanta every week, it's all over the news down here. And then being from Alabama, you know, I talked to Coach Oates, wished him the best. And, you know, because, you know, it's just a bad situation. So those are unfortunate things. Oh, and I want to give a shout out to the family of Chris Ford. You know, longtime NBA player, longtime NBA coach, passed away this week.
First man to make a three-point
first
shot.
First man to make a three-pointer. And, you know, he's part of our NBA family, and I just want to wish his family the best. And rest in peace, Chris Ford. So now I'm just going to lighten it up a little bit. I want to give a shout out to Chef Jose Andres. You know, we had him on the show recently.
He's brilliant.
And he was so awesome and so fun. And he's part of the Discovery family also. Mm-hmm. But he sent me and Ernie a care package of meat. So that was really cool of him. I got to figure out how to cook it. Got to get on the grill. But he sent us a complete, I think it's something called cold belly he sent it in. But just shout out to Chef Jose Andres. That was really cool.
Where'd you put the box?
It's in the refrigerator, fool.
I'm going to get it. That's all. I just want to know where I was going.
First of all, you have never cooked a day in your life.
I cook all the time. That's why I'm fat.
Well, I think the eating makes you fat.
Yeah,
not the
but I cook all the time.
Okay, I'm impressed.
I did.
Okay, I believe you. So that's it. Now we're going to have some fun. I want to give a shout out to two of the best to ever do to retire this week. Mile Moore and J.J. Watt. Two of the best to ever do it. I mean, obviously, Connecticut, Olympics, the Lynx of the WNBA. She's just a wonderful person, one of the best women basketball players ever. Just want to congratulate her on an amazing career and enjoy the rest of your life, Maya. And J.J. Watt. He's a bad dude. Duck and Chuck on the golf course. Duck and Chuck on the golf course. But JJ, you've been one of the best to ever do it. Obviously, down in Texas at the beginning and most of your career, it's been an honor and a privilege, as I told you, to watch you the last couple of years in Arizona. Been fun to watch. Congrats on the new baby. Enjoy the rest of your life and wait till they call you at Canton. And also, Maya, I'll see you at the Basketball Hall of Fame real soon. So two of the best to ever do it. And I'm going to finish up with something I got to do last week that I never want to take for granted. So obviously, we're shooting the Capital One commercials, getting ready for March Madness. Shout out to my Capital One family. But I never want to take it for granted working with Sam Jackson. Everybody knows he's one of the best to ever do it. And it's always an honor and a privilege to work with him. He's so great helping me do my stuff. But I never want to take it for granted when I work with somebody of that magnitude. And same thing with Spike Lee. I've been working with Spike for a long time. But, you know, him directing and being in the spots. But I never want to take working with greatness for granted. So shout out to Samuel L. Jackson, and Spike Lee. And thank those guys for being with me and making our commercials really, really good. So shout out to those guys.
Want to pick some games quick?
Yes.
Ready?
These are dangerous games.
All right. We'll do this with start Saturday afternoon. Jags at KC. KC's given 8.5.
That's not going to be enough for the Jags. Because first of all, the Jags got away with murder last week. You cannot blow a 27-0 lead. You cannot do it.
You play to win the game.
Yep.
Giants versus the Eagles. Eagles are given 7.5.
It's going to be a close game. I'm going with my Eagles. I love Coach Dable, but my Eagles, I hope Jalen Shoulder's all right. And I'm going with my Eagles, but it's going to be a close game.
All right. So Giants are going to cover?
Yes.
All right. Sunday, Bengals at Buffalo. Bills are given 5.5.
I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. As much as I love my Eagles, I'm rooting for the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl. If your team is not in it, you should be a Bills fan. If your team is not in the playoffs, everybody should be a Buffalo Bills fan. You factor in what that city has been through this year. That food shooting up the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
That's blizzard that killed dozens. Over 20. The DeMar Hamlin situation, man, it's great to see that kid back around. But what Buffalo has been through, I'm rooting for the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl.
Final one, Cowboys at Niners. San Francisco's given 3.5.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Woo.
The Dallas Cowboys are going to win that game.
You want to call Stephen A. and find out what he thinks?
Stephen A., first of all, that was the easiest game of last week. The Tampa Bay stinks. That wasn't even a win to me. Now, if they go to San Francisco and beat that team, that's a win. Beating Tampa Bay, that was the easiest bet I made last weekend, TK.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. I think that's going to propel them to beat the 49ers.
All right, you're a Dallas guy. I can't go with that because I'm a Steeler guy. So I just have one other question. Bengals at Buffalo, over under 48. I'm taking the over.
What's the weather going to be? You have to factor that in.
They can plan that.
You know, I asked my NFL friends, because, you know, when you hang around with regular people, they say stupid stuff. Like, when I'm around regular people, they're like...
Regular people here.
Yeah. No. They'll say, oh, man, once they start, they're not cold anymore. My friends, and who played the
first
NFL,
series, you are cold.
My friends say, man, that's the stupidest thing I've heard. We're freezing the whole time. Because I wanted to know, because I was like, because you know, when you were like, okay, yeah, you probably do warm up. They're like, no, man, you're freezing the whole time.
All right. 35 degrees, mix of rain and snow at kickoff.
Under.
Okay. All right.
Under.
Keep track. I'm taking the over. And when we come back, a legendary guest, Sally Field. Ah, that bass.
Yes.
Only means one thing.
This is awesome for me and you, TK.
This is awesome. How many guests, specials would you put in front of this guest?
At least 6 or 7. Special guests.
All right, before we get to our guest, I wanted to tell you something. You're a part of an august company of 400 members that have played in the National Basketball League. The Basketball Hall of Fame has 400 plus members. Our guest is one of only 44 actors and actresses who has won multiple Oscars. And here she is for lead performance, Sally Field. Welcome, Sally.
Hi. Hi. Thank you.
So, first of all, I want to apologize for the one and only time I met you. So, TK, I'm in New York, and she's sitting at the same restaurant as me. And I hate walking up on celebrities, but I said to myself, what a chance are we ever going to be in the same restaurant again?
That was such a great moment. I was with my youngest son, who is not a kid. We were beside ourselves that you did that. We're huge fans. I've watched you play many times with several sets of my children as they grew up. So please, I was so honored that you came up to me. We saw you, but I did not have the nerve to do
I said, Miss Field, I hate to bother you. I've had a crush on you. I got to say hello to you. You're a legend. We're never going to be in the same restaurant again. And she was so gracious. And I tell people that story. I was so excited to have you on when we finally going to have you on. I said, because when you meet, and listen, you don't have to be modest. You're a living legend. It was so awesome that you were so cool. So I want to say, number one, I apologize, but thank you for being so awesome.
Please don't apologize. I thank you for coming up. I didn't have the nerve. My son and I saw you across and go, and I would say, Sam, don't look, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. He's having his meal, you know. So I appreciate that so much. And you are a living legend as well.
So we can't start on 80 for Brady. You've had one of the most remarkable careers of all time. I mean, Do you like sometimes when I'm in my private moments, I say to myself, wow. And do you sit around in your few private moments, say, I can't believe the life and career I've had?
You know what? I didn't used to, honestly. I didn't used to ever do that because I think probably like you, I've always been focused on where is the next step ahead? What do I do next? Where is it coming from? How do I get there? How can I be better? I think only recently that I've started to go, holy smoke, look how far I came. When there were so many times I thought, I can't get there. There being an unknown place. I don't know if you had in your mind where you needed to go, where you needed to land. I would presume all you wanted to do was to be playing the next game and be better than you were the game before. And now you look back and go, oh, okay, I'm a member of that very small league and, you know, that 400 that was mentioned. And so I don't know how do we get there, except we just have something inside of us that wants to be good at what we do.
When you first started, like, you a child star, basically.
Yeah, I started at 17. At least I graduated high school.
So did you go to college?
No. And I it's always been a regret. I mean, my kids say to me that I think of college the way most people think of Hollywood. You know, I have this glamorous idea of what a university life would be like and going to classes. And I don't think it's such a romantic idea. I think everyone should, you know, have a higher education if they can. Where did you go to college?
Well, I went to Auburn University, the greatest place in the world. But just for the record, I don't want to get on here and lie to you like I was going to a lot of classes. I was not going.
He didn't go to any classes, Sally.
I was in college for 3 years. I might have went to classes six times, twice a year. So that was pretty much it.
Hey, Sally, I'll tell you a story. Charles was approached by one of our production assistants who was studying very hard. And he said, I have a real hard math exam coming up, Chuck. And Chuck said, I got two numbers for you.
20 and 10. You get 20 and 10. Hey, you'll never have to worry about class. You're getting 20 points and 10 rebounds.
So one of the reasons we are here, Sally, is 80 for Brady. It's in theaters on February 3rd. Just tell us a little bit about it and how it came about.
I wasn't there when the initial happening happened. This was a kind of taken from a true story. There were five women initially. Many of them subsequently have passed away. They were in their 80s and they fell in love with football and Tom Brady. And they, that was really their paradigm. They would come together and watch every game and be best friends. And I think the son of one of them took this idea to the studio, and then it became what it is now, that these four women who are best friends, some of us not in our 80s, I might add. I was the one kept saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm not in my, I'm 75. I was 75 then. I'm now 76. And Rita Moreno said, I'm not in my 80s either. I'm 90. So they then come together as best friends and are determined to go to that fabulous and famous 2016 Super Bowl. And how they got there, that this is this the fictionalized version of what really happened. And it's about these four women going to the Super Bowl and getting into the game. And it's very fanciful in places. But it was so much fun. It was so much fun as an older woman to be telling a story about sports. I am a huge sports fan. I have three sons. Sports was always in my life. And so I liked telling the part of that story that older women are huge, huge audience for sports.
You know, looking at the trailer, you all four of y'all are living legends. I mean, I've never met Miss Tomlin. I've never met Jane. Rita Moreno is like amazing. And yeah, to get you four together, it had to be a blast to have four ladies who have accomplished what you guys have accomplished over your lifetime. Had to be phenomenal to be around those ladies every day.
Well, it was, because we just become, you know, girls, really. We're together and talking and gossiping and laughing. And it was difficult to make us shut up, basically. It would be like, okay, we got to roll, ladies, we have to roll here. And sometimes they would just start rolling, even though we were still gossiping and talking and going, oh, okay, we're in the scene. What do you say? Who's in doing? And a lot of that camaraderie, a lot of that fun is really in the film. You sort of see us not paying attention to anything except each other. And that was, you know, kind of a once in a lifetime thing. You don't get to have that sort of fun usually.
Just brace yourself though, Sally. I know you're a huge sports fan and you're a huge Laker fan. Charles lately has not been a real fan of the Lakers.
They lost again last night, just for the record.
I know. I knew we would get into this. I know that. I've been kind of following, very much following what's going on with the Lakers. Every team has their ups and their downs. I know. And I know that you are certainly not a fan.
We're waiting on some ups. We've had a lot of downs this year. We're waiting on some ups.
Yeah, we're waiting on some ups, and that could happen next year. We have some injuries, and we need some, you know, new blood, put it that way.
I always ask my actor friends two questions. Have you ever made a movie? I'm going to give you both. You can answer both. Have you ever made a movie while you were filming and you're saying to yourself, this movie is going to suck? And the second part of that, have you ever made a movie you were thinking like, this is not going to be very good, and it turned into a tremendous success?
I've had several movies that I'm in going, how do I get out of this thing? What do I have to do to get off of it? Knowing full well that the Titanic was going straight down. And you just, you know, hold your head up and do the best you can and sort of say to yourself, well, you know, everybody has to make a living and here I am. I've done several of those. I could list them, but I won't. And then mostly you're in a film and you're doing the work and you really don't think of where it's going. I mean, I've been lucky enough to be a part of films that have been hugely successful. And whether it was Mrs. Doubtfire or Forrest Gump or things like that, you never stop and think, oh boy, we're talking big success here. You just do the work and you're like, wow, look, that everybody seems to like it. Wow. You know, and it's a surprise and you just keep going.
Do you go to movies?
Honestly, I used to. You know what? Let's face it. Everything has changed since the pandemic. Everything. And I think as I've gotten older, I would go less and less. And I think that the whole industry has changed. You know, what you're doing has changed everything. And the streaming ability of films and television itself has gotten so good. And you know, all of the limited series. And as an older person, I find myself going out to the theater less and less, and unless it's one of my children's films. My son is a big screenwriter. I go to his movies and my other son's movies. But you know, I hate to say it because that theater experience as a young person and all throughout my life was so transformative. You know, you'd sit in that dark theater and, you know, and watch this spectacular thing come to life. So I don't know. Everything's changed. Don't you feel it has?
Oh, no question. What did you learn about yourself during the pandemic?
Well, you know what, Charles, as I was driving here today and I thought, what happened during the pandemic to me is it a lot of like negative things happened everywhere. But to me, something opened up inside. First of all, oddly enough, I got a dog right before, but I didn't even know we were going to have a pandemic. Just, I kept saying, you can't have a dog. You can't have a dog. Your life doesn't allow you to have a dog. I got this puppy. So this little puppy and I, that was part of it. The other thing that I found all on my own without my sons turning the channels and making it happened was sports. The bubble that the NBA went into to keep the series going, all the teams in that bubble was so heroic, I thought. I watched every game from every team that I could find. And I just thought they were heroes giving us all of this while we were all alone in our rooms, in our houses. And then my oldest son turned me on to after the basketball was the championship, the Lakers won. Okay. Yes. after that was over, my son Peter said, well, have you ever been into baseball? And I went, not really so much. It was the one that I wasn't. He said, well, start watching baseball. And I have become absolutely obsessed with the Dodgers. I'm sorry. Just absolutely obsessed. I mean, they play 400 games a year. I think I watched every single solitary one since the pandemic. I wherever I am, I've got the phone going. I'll talk to you in a minute, guys. Oh my God, look at that flight. Did you see that flight? So that has been huge for me. This part of my life, it's all on my own. The sons aren't doing it. I just love basketball, yes. Baseball, oh yes. And football is actually on the third one, not as much as the other two, but that's been huge. It's like this huge gift to find something that just delights me so much. And I'm so grateful to all of you guys and the players to give me that.
You know, it's so crazy you say that because I feel the exact same way. Because when we went I forgot how long the break was without sports. I was like, man, if we don't have sports, we just have to deal with reality. And I was like, yeah. I'm going to go crazy dealing with reality. I says, we need sports as a viable thing. Like, hey, just take me away from my job. Take me away from reality. And I told the guys, I said it on the air. I said, guys, we should appreciate our fans more because they appreciate us. Because I had people like, I mean, when are y'all going to start playing basketball again? I've had enough of reality. I mean, we need sports. They just important. They're not the most important thing in the world, but man, they are really important.
It is such a great outlet for life. You know, when you look at basketball and you look at baseball and football, you see your own dilemmas in it. And I think that's what it is. It's the struggles and the defeats and the triumphs and the blows, you know, let's face it. The injuries, the skill, the artistry of it. So thank you.
Sally, speaking of artistry, did you, during the shoot, get to meet Tom Brady?
Yes.
Charles has a man crush on him.
That's a good looking man, Sally, isn't it?
It's Charles's favorite man.
You know what? Looks is looks, but skill is something else. So I appreciate his, talk about artistry. Oof. I don't care that his last game wasn't so good. I don't care. He will always be, for a long time to come, the very best quarterback who's ever lived. Don't you agree?
Oh, no question. He's the greatest quarterback ever lived.
Not even close.
Yeah. So I just became a grandfather. And Ernie and Clark Kellogg had told me it was going to change the dynamic of my life. And I'll say, as amazing and blessed as my life has been, being a grandfather is the greatest thing ever happened to me. Are you a grandmother yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, my oldest grandchildren, my granddaughters are, you know, one's a PhD student at Berkeley, and the other one's graduating Columbia. So I have 5 grandkids of varying ages.
Well, my daughter graduated from grad school at Columbia.
So
this guy, I don't know how he got into Columbia. I have
got
zero
20
idea.
And 10, 20 points and 10 rebounds. So, Sally, one last question. I was just curious. You mentioned Mrs. Doubtfire. What was Robin Williams like, and what was it like to work with him? He must seem like a sweet soul.
He was the sweetest, most exhausting soul that ever lived. He had this endless energy. It was like, Robin, that's enough. That's enough. Come on. Let's stop today. And he always said, no, let's do it another way. Let's do it one more way. How about if this time I climb through the window and come at, no, Robin, that doesn't make sense. What are you doing out and climb through the window? He was so much fun though. He used to come over to my place. It was in San Francisco, and they had rented me a place which was near his, so we could play Zelda together on Nintendo. And it was when Zelda was new, the game, and he would come over and we would play Zelda together and try to conquer monsters. And I have been addicted to all the Zelda games since then. He was a remarkable soul. He really was. I was certainly blessed to have had that time with him.
Man, when she started saying boundless energy, crazy, want to do different stuff all the time, I said, damn, that sounds just like Shaq.
Well, you know, he could do Mrs. Doubtfire too. You never know.
Oh, please don't put that out there. We after Kazam, we don't need any more Shaq on movies. I just want to tell you, I want to thank you for being so gracious when I met you in person. It was an honor to have you on the podcast today. And just thank you. And you've been amazing your entire career. Congratulations. And good luck with 80 for Brady. I can't wait to see it. But just thank you for blessing us with your presence today.
Absolutely. This was a joy. February 3rd it comes out, right?
Yes, February 3rd. I can't wait to see you in a restaurant again, Charles, because I'll come up to you this time.
All right. I appreciate that. You take care of yourself. Have a great day.
Okay. Thanks, Sally.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Come and join us in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in Steam Room.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in the Steam Room.
I like like the way you close your eyes there, like a real singer. Look at that.
I'm a real singer.
That is soulful.
I told you, they call me Old Brown Eyes.
I know. I know that part, but it was like, you look like Marvin Gaye doing the national anthem.
That was fabulous.
Oh, it was the greatest.
Marvin Gaye and Whitney Houston's national anthem are two of the greatest things ever.
You are correct. Okay, let me throw a number at you and see if you know what it is. 404-987-0330.
That's the number to the answer machine.
Oh, you knew that the whole time.
Well, as you read it to me.
Oh, all right. Okay. Anyway, everybody, you can call Chuck and leave a message because he doesn't believe in technology. But the number is 404-987-0330. And our first caller, I understand, is an overseas caller.
Oh, yes.
I know you like that because...
we international. Hello, world. This is Charles Barkley. Leave me a message.
Hello, Chuck. My name is Patrick, and I'm calling from a friend. The first time I saw you, Chuck, it was a 1992 Olympic. You impressed me by the way you play, your speed, your explosiveness. Everything about you was amazing to see. After the Olympic, I tried to play like you, despite my 5'10". You know, I'm not small. I am a loyal steamer since the very first season. I hope I will have the chance to be on the air. Thank you, guys. Thank you, TK. Chuck, you are my all-time MVP. Thank you, and sorry for my poor English.
Wow.
Magnifique.
You know, from France, man, number one, thank you for being a loyal steamer. I love getting international calls. You know, the Olympics, man, that was one of the coolest things ever happened to me in my life. And I've always told people that if you get a chance to do two things as a sports fan, you should do it. Go to the Olympics and go to the Final Four Saturday. They're two of the most amazing things I've been blessed to do in my life. So I'm glad. Thank you for being a loyal steamer, my man. I've been in your country 3 times, I think. Had a good time over there. But thanks for being a loyal steamer.
All right. We appreciate it. And I wish I could say it in French, but I can't.
Well, listen.
I flailed.
Know your limitations.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Second call.
Charles, what up, my dude? I heard somewhere you can't palm a basketball. How are you one of the greatest power forwards that ever lived and you can't palm a basketball? Walk me through that. We need a segment on that. Go Sixers.
Here we go.
Go Sixers.
We got a ball for you, Chuck. Don't tell me you can't palm a ball.
I cannot palm a basketball. So if you go back and look at every dunk I've ever had, 90% of them are two hands. Or the other 10% is I take it up with two hands, then dunk it quickly with one hand. I don't have very big hands. I got a little fat fingers, but I don't have big hands. So, like I said, if you go back and look at any of my dunks, they're either two hands or where I just got the momentum and it stuck to my hand for a split second. So that is 100% accurate, my friend.
What do they say about small hands?
Small gloves.
You're good. This guy's good. Okay.
I got big feet.
All right, I got another call, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, this is Jimmy in Chicago. Now that Kenny has been an actor in the recent movie Hustle, who would you say is the best actor out of you, Shaq, and Kenny? Take care. Bye.
Adam Sandler's movie.
Yes, yes. Actually, the movie was fantastic, actually.
That's what I hear.
First of all,
it's in another segment.
Yes, okay, sorry. It would depend on the character, to be honest with you. Because my real acting chops have probably been on Saturday Night Live. The couple of cameos I made in movies, I don't think you could really classify them as great acting. But, and Kenny's not a great actor. Shaq would probably be the best actor. Because he's going to have the most fun. So as painful for it is for me, Shaq is probably the best actor.
See, I've always thought of you as somebody who could be a great guest star, tough guy on Sopranos, like leaning on guys to pay off debts and all that sort of stuff. Chuckster could handle that.
You need to know, acting is a real thing. Like, I can be silly in my commercials and things like that, but to be like a dramatic role without a teleprompter, I don't think I want that smoke.
All right.
I don't think I want that smoke.
You heard it first. He didn't want that smoke. That's it for this edition. Stick around. Next week, Ernie will be back. We'll have a good time. See you, everybody.